Good morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean, and I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Hey.
And so I will talk about what we watched recently, as usual. For some reason, I had a hankering to watch The Emperor's New Groove, so I watched that again on Disney Plus.
I couldn't tell you the last time that I've watched that
movie. Yeah,
it's been one forever. Of the first movie memories I have, like going as a child going to the theater. It's one of the first.
You know,
the first memories I have.
My first memory, because I guess we're going there now.
Oh, yeah, we're going. Because I've got mine already loaded.
Now I'm not going to remember the damn name of it. The King and I.
Mm.
Very forgotten animated movie.
For some reason, I thought you said The King's Speech, and I was like, huh?
It's the first movie I ever saw.
I was like, no, I don't think that's
2014
right.
2014 or some shit.
Yeah, I never went to one until 2014.
That's yeah, it's that and that or Ice Age, I think.
Mine's Hercules. And I was like three. Oh, wow. I shouldn't remember that, but I do.
Well, see, I don't remember my actual first one. My actual first movie was Lion King. I have no recollection of it. Other than going back to my grandma's house and my cousins from California were here. And I remember playing Lion King.
That unbeatable game?
Us pretending to be lions.
I think we've had this conversation before.
Oh, we might have. I don't know. But
I mean, it may have been with me because I used to do the same thing with my cousins.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I remember. I don't remember the actual movie going experience.
Mm. Well, like it's funny, like not to go off on a tangent, but we at my grandparents' house when the cousins got together, we had four VHSs in the clamshell cases that were Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, The Lion King, and the movie we'll be talking about today.
Oh.
So.
One of these things is not like the other.
No. Well, they're all Walt Disney.
They're all Walt Disney, but one of these things is still not like the other.
Yeah, oh yeah, one is completely different than the others.
I think other than that, I haven't really watched anything in the meantime.
I did, but I think it's my pick.
Aside from Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I watched Godzilla vs. Kong again.
Again.
Because why not?
That's just a given.
Well, it's only on...
We can just copy and paste that for the next few weeks.
It's only on... it's only on HBO Max until the 30th.
Oh,
so,
really?
So I gotta watch it as many times as I possibly can.
Okay.
Well, it'll go back on, but... Oh, I watched Dante's Peak, too.
Hmm.
I've seen that movie. Have you ever watched it?
If I'm thinking of the right movie.
Pierce Brosnan and Linda Hamilton.
Yes, yeah. I love that movie.
Good movie. Love that movie. Watch that. I watched something else, and I can't remember what it was. It'll come to me. Mm. We'll circle back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I want to watch that movie.
It's a good movie. I love it a lot. Yeah.
I don't know if we have any news. I can't think of anything.
I don't. Supposedly, there was a very convincing...
Shang-Chi?
Oh, yeah. The Shang-Chi trailer was very good.
I mean, I did reaction, but...
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed
that. Thanks for paying attention to the channel you're on.
I did see the Cruella de Vil one.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I don't mean to cut you off, but supposedly Alfred Molina confirmed his appearance
as Doc Ock from the Spider-Man 2 universe.
It picks up right from when he's in the water.
From what they said is nobody dies in this universe.
That's basically what I was going into was... There was that, and then a very convincing, plot leak, and it has both Andrew Garfield and Toby.
The other thing, Sony and Disney struck a deal, another deal, and you know the famous negotiations that never cease between
negotiator.
Between Disney and Sony.
We know the details of that? I never looked into it.
They're going
Spider-Man
to,
are going to be on Disney Plus.
That's it.
That's all that I know.
Okay.
Unless they're striking a deal for further down the line, utilizing the partnership that they're creating.
They said that could be, that's probably what it'll work itself into, is they'll start actually working closer with them and actually...
Well, that's good because...
They're like this close to buying it back, but I feel like if they do... They know that Sony's just going to go completely bankrupt because that's the last property keeping them alive.
Well, then they can just buy Sony.
Yeah, that's probably what will end up happening. They're getting chummy with them right now, so they can go, and we own you.
We're buying you, by the way.
Yeah.
So
Oh, another bit of news. Did you guys hear about the two writers of Predator? Are having a lawsuit with Disney to buy the rights back to Predator.
I saw something about that.
So they did it, and I'm thinking, why? So you could just make shittier sequels and ruin the franchise?
Because it's technically Disney's property now, yeah. Under WB. Is that why?
Fox.
Oh, Fox.
Oh,
but, that's right, WB is still its own thing. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But, like, I was thinking, I'm like, why would you want to buy that back so you can make shitty sequels?
So like, they just, like, independently own the rights to the Predator?
No. They're having a lawsuit to win them back because they're intellectual property. Which makes no sense. Yeah, like, when you read it,
At that point, it's just, like, two guys that, like, own that. Like, are they just, like, doing that for the money, or do they want to actually, like, go forward with it? That just seems so stupid, because you'd have to get, like, a studio backing to fund another movie if you wanted to make another one. And like,
why make another one? The only good sequel that came out of that, like, Predator 2, it's been a long time since I've watched it, and I wasn't very fond of it. Predators is the best sequel, aside from the original. I didn't much care for the last one. I'll be honest, I really didn't care much for The Predator.
I've only seen bits and pieces of the original. It's a franchise
That's one you need to sit down and just watch, because that's I've seen balls-to-the-wall action alien monster movie, and it's great. Every minute of it is great. Because
it's Schwarzenegger.
Carl Weathers, Jesse Ventura. Yeah.
Shane Black.
And there's a few. Oh,
Billy.
What's his name? Wilson Duke.
I don't know who that is.
maybe it's Bill Duke. Bill Duke. Mm. That's it. All these like 80s action stars come together for one huge movie.
Yeah.
And
it was pretty well.
It's like the Expendables versus E.T.
Yeah.
Like it was great.
Yeah. Like I said, I've seen bits and pieces. I just couldn't. I'm sure I've probably seen most of the movie.
Yeah.
But it's... I don't remember it.
But yeah, like, I really don't want them to make
Yeah, that doesn't sequels. Make much sense to me.
Don't make any more sequels to Predator.
Yeah.
They've already run that
I mean, you can make them if they're good, but...
They haven't been, though. Like, I feel like there's a curse on it.
Is there any good ones you can do aside from the first one?
I like Predators, but that, I mean, that also came out when we were in high school, so it could be rose-tinted lenses I'm viewing it through.
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't too bad. Even, like, I rewatched it, like, a year or two ago. It wasn't too bad.
I mean, it's basically just the same thing as Predator 1, just instead of being on Earth, it's on their planet.
Yeah.
That's really the only difference.
Hmm.
Well, if we don't have anything else, we could just jump right into my recommendation this week.
Yeah.
So, I recommended James and the Giant Peach for us to watch this episode, so spoilers for that. Basic synopsis is it's kind of hard film to describe.
Yeah.
A boy...
Orphan kid.
Yeah, and a boy is orphaned and is living with his terrible aunts, and then he meets a magic guy that grows a giant peach and other animals or creatures, I guess you said. They're mostly insects, but he grows, their magic is infected in them, and then he becomes infected with the magic and turns into a claymated nightmare. And they travel from, his goal is to make it to New York City, so they travel from London, presumably, to New York City.
And that's just because he wants to get the hell away from
his aunts. Yeah. And that was their trip that he was going to take with his parents before they died by
Because he's got the brochure
by a rhino in the sky.
Yeah, this movie is based on the book written by Roald Dahl.
Yes,
so it's a fucking weird story to begin with. So yes, like when you watch it, like when I rewatched it, it was just like I said, we had, my cousin will tell you straight up that James and the Giant Peach was the movie that I watched over and over again at my grandparents' house. Don't ask me why, but I did, and I love the movie.
See, back in those days, I mean, I literally watched Disney Channel to catch these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, anytime this was on, I sat down and watched it. I never owned it, but yeah. I did watch it a lot as a kid.
Yeah, like, I love this. I still love this movie. Like, yeah. Even watching it again, I'm like, this is still a great movie. But, yes, it is a weird, yeah. nightmarish type. Like, if you were to show this to a kid nowadays, they'd be like, what the hell is this? Like,
so, you know how every kid has a movie that gives them childhood trauma? From watching it,
oh,
this was one of those movies for me.
Imagine that would have possibly given you trauma.
Specifically, and I mentioned this to Aaron when we watched it, the scene where the earthworm is getting like racked, and like they're pulling him apart in the by the pirates in the bottom of the ocean, yeah. Antarctic Ocean. That fucking terrified me as a child, and the rhino.
Oh, and Jack Skellington.
Jack Skellington was the
pirate captain.
The captain pirate. So this was obviously created by the same company that made...
Henry Selick.
Yeah, Henry Selick, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Okay.
And I must say, that is a much better movie than this, in my opinion. Just, I think that the animation works better in that movie. I don't know, something about...
Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah. Something Ooh, about...
I'm going to give you a hard no.
Something about this was just completely off-putting.
No. And don't get me wrong, like... Nightmare Before Christmas is a good movie in regards as it has that Rankin-Bass feel with the stop motion, which, by the way, the movie was produced by Tim Burton and partially written, but if you watch the movies that made us, he had, nothing to do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Really? Henry Selick really
this one?
Took the... Like, Tim Burton...
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Tim Burton wrote out the characters and everything. But Henry Selick, mm-hmm. went with it.
Yeah, it's his movie. Yeah. So whenever people are like, oh, that's Tim Burton's movie.
It's not.
It's not his movie.
It's actually not his movie. It's his characters. It's characters that he developed under... And the only reason is, it's because he developed those characters when he worked at Walt Disney Studio. So they became intellectual property under Walt Disney. So they put his name on it because he created the characters, mm-hmm. and the world. But it's not his movie. So that's a popular misconception, and I think a lot of people think that this is a Tim Burton movie,
right.
too, which it is not.
So another thing is, like...
Very Tim Burton-esque things.
Yeah.
In it,
oh, yeah, definitely.
So it's unfortunate because this was created by Skellington Animation, named after, obviously, Jack Skellington from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's insane.
And it's unfortunate because this is the only other movie that they made, and... I'm thinking it's because it did not perform well in the box office.
Shocker.
So I feel
like... Yeah, but they showed the shit out of it on Disney.
Of course.
So I'm thinking that they inevitably, busted because the only moneymaker they had was The Nightmare Before Christmas. But
and royalties
then,
don't keep a company like that alive.
Yeah, especially...
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean,
well, there wasn't merchandise back then like there is now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's like pop culture icon at this point, which is funny that that is, but this one is not, because they're very similar.
Yeah, there's nothing from this movie.
I mean, I doubt that many people even remember this movie.
But what's funny to me about this movie versus Nightmare Before Christmas is this has an A-list cast.
Mm. And it is also, I think that the music is better. Because there's music in this. Yeah, Randy Newman's music in this movie.
Was this Randy Newman?
Mm-hmm.
That end credits song, I was like...
Dead giveaway.
Am I listening to Toy Story? Like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah. Randy Newman?
I didn't actually know that, but I heard it.
and I'm not knocking Danny Elfman, but when I think... And, of course, I didn't watch Nightmare Before Christmas till I was, in middle school or something like that. And I...
Let me
I
just go on
it.
Record and say I still have never seen it.
Well, I mean, I watched it. I watched it because I loved stop motion animation. My mom loved that movie. So she's like, you should watch this movie because it's stuff that you like. And I watched it and I was like, yeah, it's a good movie. I like it. I'm a fan of it. I'm not a super fan, but I'm a fan of it.
I think that the music is just far better in that movie than in this one. Because, there's, iconic music in that movie. Try and remember one of the songs that they sang in this one.
That's the life for me.
I just watched it yesterday. I don't remember.
That's actually the song that comes straight to my mind is that when I think of this movie. But I would I would say from a musical composition standpoint, I think Danny Elfman is better than Randy Newman.
I think so too. Yeah,
he has a more unique sound that's more recognizable. You're gonna recognize Randy Newman's voice. You may not recognize his music, but you'll recognize his voice when he's singing the song.
Yeah,
you can kind of hear it. The way that he makes music. Yeah. It does sound very much like Toy Story.
Yeah, for people who have a keen ear for music, like you said, am I watching Toy Story? Like, you can pick up on that. But, like, I feel like Danny Elfman has more of a score that is recognizable in anything that he does. Like, there's always that little bit where you go, oh, that's a Danny Elfman score. Like, for me, since I love music composers and all that, like, I'll watch a movie and the opening credits will start playing and I'll go, that sounds like Jerry Goldsmith, and then I wait for a couple more credits and it goes, music by Jerry Goldsmith, and I'm like, there it is. Like,
see, that's a talent I don't have.
So going back to how I was saying,
I'm just shocked that you're like,
well, that's the thing. I used to really enjoy the movie.
You're like, Nightmare Before Christmas better than this movie. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm going to stand my ground with that. Because I used to like this a lot.
Damn.
And it's okay to not like things that you liked when you were younger. But
really? I don't know the concept.
We're going to put a sign up that says that next time.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. I wasn't really feeling it this time.
Really? Huh.
The one bit of animation that always stood out to me and kind of made me uncomfortable was when they were just, like, grabbing handfuls of the peach. And and it's, like, their regular claymated bodies, but then it's, like, this weird, like...
Yeah, the peach looked weird.
It almost looks like a blood or something, just, like, splotching all over the place. I don't know. And I really don't like the Earthworm as a character. He's a big douche.
He's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know that, but
played by Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah. Let's throw that out there. Richard Dreyfuss, Susan Sarandon. I didn't know for a fact, but for some reason, I always thought that the Grasshopper was played by Patrick Stewart. He is not, obviously. Mm. But and the cop at the end is the dude from Dumb and Dumber. The big mob guy. Yeah. He plays a mafia guy like in every movie, except for that he plays a cop in this movie.
And David Toulis plays the Earthworm.
Yeah.
The, what's his name?
Oh, you keep saying the Earthworm.
I mean the Centipede.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I was like...
My mistake.
It's like the Earthworm is a douche.
No, I'm the Earthworm is a scaredy cat.
I was kind of... I was thinking the same thing. What was I going to say? I don't remember. Nah.
It's gone.
It's gone.
I do like the shark in the water scene.
Oh, the big guy. Yeah, like that's shark. Pretty cool. Neat.
Yeah.
Very cool looking.
Yeah.
And how they use the seagulls to take them into the sky. I remember I was like, don't they fly in this movie? I thought, because they were just like floating on the water. And then you're like, oh no, they fly.
Oh, they fly now.
They fly now.
So, this movie did a good job at mixing because there was an animation style on its way out and an animation style on its way in. And I think this movie, like, kind of bridged that, where they're like, we could probably make it work. Like, and they were just kind of ushering in a newer technology and pushing out an older one. And I feel like that was probably... The studio probably said to Henry, they're like, yeah, you can do a claymation, but we really want to tie in some CGI effects, like the shark. The water and stuff
like
that.
The water looked pretty good.
Yeah. So I feel like it was a nice marriage between CGI and stop motion.
The one shot that I particularly remember seeing, and I was like, wow, that actually looks really good, is when, at the end, spoilers, you know, whatever, when the spider spins up the aunts.
Yeah.
Not actual ants. But, and the grasshopper, like, kicks them to spin them.
Yeah, that's another weird... The story's just so strange.
Well, yeah.
Because they land the peach on the Eiffel Tower.
No, on the Empire State
Building. On the Empire State Building. Yeah, Eiffel Tower. What the hell was I thinking? The Empire
State
Building.
They went the other way!
The other big building.
Yeah. And then, like, the fucking insects, human-sized insects...
Float down.
Yeah, come back. You're telling me that the entirety of, like, New York wouldn't be like, what the fuck? And, like, starts, like, running away? Yeah, or, like, the cop just, like, pulls his gun out and starts shooting at them?
Just starts blasting.
Well, the crowd turns into mostly kids. Like, all the parents just fuck off.
Yeah. I mean, that would be terrifying.
And, well, and then all the end credits is, like, a montage of, like, them being hailed as, like, heroes of their species and all that. And I'm like, what the hell? Like...
So during the whole movie, they weren't life size.
No, they were.
Oh no, they were.
Were they?
Yeah, in they were in the peach. Yeah, they were that size inside the peach.
Okay,
that's the magic from the florist.
Yeah,
yeah, the florist came.
I watched the first half like 2 months ago. I don't remember. But I was thinking that he like shrunk a little bit or something. I don't know. But I guess,
The magic doesn't really do anything to him. It just turns him into a claymated character. Like, he's the regular size. He just, goes in.
He just has an enormous head.
Yeah, turns into clay.
Yeah, that might go back to me being a stupid kid. I don't know. I always thought that transition wasn't just about the claymation. I thought it was, like, him
shrinking?
Shrinking some, but...
Yeah, because the peach stays the same size the whole
time. That's true.
Like, isn't that weird, too? Like, that the magic wears off of him when they hit the peach, but not the bugs. Like, they're still, like, enormous. Like, now, if it had landed on the Empire State Building with them all in it, would they just, like, turn back into, like, bugs?
I don't know. The 100 crocodile tongues or whatever it was that was all magic. That was so weird. That guy just
the spiral pasta.
Yeah.
Neon greens. Chernobyl based spiral pasta. Eat these. That does not seem safe.
It's glowing green. I don't think so.
Yeah. Think again, buddy.
And he's literally like a homeless person.
Yeah.
Like, and so if a homeless dude showed up.
That knows everything about his life, by the way.
Yeah. If a homeless dude who knew everything about you showed up with a peanut bag filled with neon green glowing spiral pasta, would you just accept?
So what's the deal with the rhino? Like, what do you think that's supposed to mean?
I never understood that either.
Rhino's just thunderstorms. I took it as the rhino is a metaphor for, like, he's a kid. He's terrified of thunderstorms.
So his parents died because
of a terrible storm, probably on the coast, killed them. So they used that.
And then his aunts were like, "Oh, the rhino got him."
Yeah,
I guess that. So because like the trampling of hooves could
sound
like thunder.
And the lightning.
Yeah,
because like I always took that at the end whenever he's like, "Oh, I'm not afraid," and the lightning strikes the peach and detaches the seagulls. Like, and then it vaporizes. So I was like, oh, and it comes off the horn, too. Right. So I was like, oh, the rhino is just a metaphor for the thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be. This could all just be inside the kid's head, and he's escaping because his parents die.
Well, yeah.
Because he's living with his terrible aunts.
Well, no, it's not all in his head, because he lives in a peach pit with a giant spider and all of his insect friends.
So
By the way, that peach pit does not look big enough to house all of them.
No. It looked like big enough for maybe him and the spider.
Maybe.
Well, the earthworm can just dig down in.
Yeah, Professor Loop and Earthworm can just dig down in.
Yeah, so the story is just so strange. And
it's strange, but it's lighthearted and has a charm to it.
Yeah,
It's a fun family movie. There's nothing like... I can't watch this movie and really, like, put myself in, like, Roger Ebert's shoes and be like, this is awful. Like, I'm just watching it and I'm like, it's a lighthearted Disney movie. When was the last time you went to a Disney movie and you didn't walk out going, yeah, I feel pretty good about myself right now?
Well, fortunately, Disney and... I don't know if Disney still does the claymated animation, but, like... There's a film studio that does still like Paranorman, and then Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, I forget what
and
their
the Frankenweenie
Latchkey or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah. Box Trolls too.
Yeah,
thankfully that Wallace and Gromit, that like
Missing Link.
Yeah, that one wasn't very good. in my opinion. But I fell like at least that like art style and like way of animation is surviving and persevering because it's really amazing.
I like, mean, yeah, like that. That's I've always loved the stop motion, like around Christmas time, like the stop motion.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah, the old school stuff.
But like, and I watched them before I saw King Kong. So like when I saw King Kong, I was like, oh, it was like they did the same exact type of thing. And then I grew to love that style of animation and started like researching it more. And I'm like, holy shit, 24 frames a second. And I was actually thinking about that this morning. I was like, 24 frames a second. I was like, and I used to like do that with like a camera, like a camcorder that you just like hit the button really quick and it would just do like a half second or something of like take a picture of what was in front and then you move it, do the same thing, and you did that. And like I had ones that were like
you have to have 24 of those for 1 second for a movie.
So like I'd do that and play it back. Because once you play it back, it plays in full speed.
Yeah.
And it's amazing to watch it come to life whenever you do something like that.
It's like Parks and Rec, Ben's.
And Ben's R.E.M. music video. Yeah. Where he just stands like up out of bed. He's like, what? He's like, I spent half the day doing this. That can't be all. Going through. I'm like, yep, stop motion animation. Stop motion animation is a bitch. Yeah, anytime somebody like, anytime somebody's like, I want to stop motion animate. I'm like, do you? Yeah. Like, I mean, do you want a life? Yeah. Do you want to be able to do things that you enjoy?
Yeah, so you're really gonna have to commit to that.
And that's the thing too. Like, there was one of those things on the movies that made us with The Nightmare Before Christmas. Is they were doing something and the woman animating said, she's like, well, it's going to be a real late night for me. I just put on another pot of coffee. I have to finish the 2-minute sequence of whatever. And I was like, and she was just going to go straight through the night and just animate and animate and animate. And I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, no thanks.
Wow. Yeah.
That's fun if like you have a hobby to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But professionally animating like that, I'd be like, nah. Professionally animating, period, sucks ass. Because I've had to animate stuff. Like, when I was in school, we had to animate 3D armatures and stuff like that. You had to put the maps on them and everything. It sucks. Like, it looks cool, and kudos to the people who do animation, because it sucks ass.
Yeah, you look at things now, like Godzilla versus Kong, and it's like, how many layers upon layers of, like, just like models and textures to make like hair. Godzilla and scales and all that. It's just insane.
Well, and then like when you see a couple of those shots too, like they're so detailed. Like kudos to anybody who does animation.
Yeah. Yeah, they're treated like slaves too. Yeah. Like the animators are not appreciated by the
animators should have their own like conventions where you like meet animators who animated great movies and like That should be a thing. There should be a convention for animators. Hell, we praise actors and comic artists, the people who bring to life that. How about the people who actually bring to life your characters? Yeah. Without them, they wouldn't exist.
Well, that's kind of like what the Oscars did at one point, where they were like presenting the technical awards like during commercial breaks. It's like, people don't care about those. It's like, yeah, but people that actually give a fuck about movies do care about those.
Exactly. So like, people who know what goes into that actually do care, especially the people who did it, who animated it.
Yeah. And like famously, like the guys that made Life of Pi, like the studio, they won an Oscar for their like visual effects, and they were like begging basically during their acceptance speech. It's like, we're going out of business, and then they got cut off like way early, and then they went out of business. So it's just that's just the typical tale of animation in Hollywood. They're treated like dirt, which sucks.
Sad.
Because I mean, nowadays, especially with like huge blockbuster movies, it's like 50%+ animation.
Yeah.
Or like digital effects. So like,
yeah, because CGI is just an animation.
Yeah. So what's up? What's up, Hollywood?
Advanced animation, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So back to the movie.
Yeah, sorry for the tangent.
I mean, it related.
About the poor working conditions.
It related to
yeah.
Disney piss jug. Don't want to say that one again too loud.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a ton to really say about this movie other than I still enjoy it. I don't think it's, like, not on any, like, top list of mine. But it was nice. Like, when Disney Plus was announced, it was one of the ones I'm like, ooh, that'll be on there.
Yeah, I'm glad for Disney Plus, specifically for movies like this. So I'll come out.
Atlantis.
Yeah. So I'll come out and say, I don't like this as much as I mean, I think that's clear by now, but I didn't like it as much as I did when I was younger. Right. But I'm glad that it is available for people to go and check it out, especially because I know a lot of people put a lot of hard work into it.
Mm-hmm.
It like, maybe somebody will discover it, like a kid. I mean, like you said, maybe they'll discover it and be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But maybe some kid will discover it, watch it and be inspired to do classic. Something like that.
Yeah, it'll become like some like cult thing. Where kids will be like, this fucking movie's weird, watch it. Like, when they watch it, they're like, yo, it is weird. Like, and then it becomes, like, its own thing.
So Aaron and I discovered there's an end credit sequence to the movie.
No idea. Absolutely no idea.
Literally.
I've gone 27 years not knowing that this has a post-credits scene.
Interesting.
Because I play the movie through the credits because of...
You don't want that shit.
UI reasons.
Yeah.
But, you cut them off. Yeah, there's a bit, there's an end credit scene where it's like a game, where it's the ants, they come down, and they're like wrapped up, and then you play as the, well, you don't play, but it's like the rhino comes out, and he like hits them.
Oh.
And it's like torturing them, basically.
That's fine.
So.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
A bit of a trendsetter with that one, having having a stinger at the end of your movie.
Yeah.
Not that it actually set up anything like we've come accustomed to, but...
Unless there's some direct-to-DVD James and the Giant Peach 2 that we just don't
Is there a sequel to the novel? I'm sure that it would be just completely bonkers.
Listen, I've never read a Roald Dahl book, so...
I don't think I'll start now either. They're very strange.
Huh.
You can watch The Witches on HBO Max.
The Witches?
Yeah, it's another one of his. Mm. Yeah. It's Anna Hathaway's in it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember seeing the previews for that and being like, yeah, that's
also weird... another Roald Dahl.
That's a weird one. I mean,
yep.
Yeah. To each their own. I'm kind of surprised that this one hasn't caught on like The Nightmare Before Christmas has.
Like, in my opinion, it's better. It's more...
Like, what do you think the staying power of Nightmare Before Christmas is that this doesn't have?
Well, as
I mean, in my opinion, it's probably the music, but do you think, like, the subject matter?
Probably, because it's a...
It's more universal?
There's a lore to it, a holiday lore.
Yeah.
So I feel like people are, like, more drawn to fantastical, like, little movie. Story.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's its staying power.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think, like, as a movie as a whole, this one's better because the plot of Nightmare Before Christmas is just like so weird.
Hmm.
And the beats, the beats as compared to this are just like off. Like, I don't know. I'd have to watch Nightmare Before Christmas again to be able to say whether or not I like this movie more. I'll throw my hat in the ring and say that James and the Giant Peach is better.
I think I like the characters better in Nightmare Before Christmas. I think that Jack Skellington is a better main character than James. I feel like James is just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah, but... And maybe... Yeah, it might be a little... This might be a touch of the rose-colored glasses that James was a more relatable character when
when
you were a kid.
Yeah.
We'll have to revisit Nightmare Before Christmas and deliberate accordingly.
We'll have to do a whole other episode just on that subject matter. But
make me watch it finally.
That's right.
Well, do we have anything else to harp on about it?
I don't think so.
No, I mean,
if you haven't watched it, I mean, you probably have watched it if you're listening to this bit, but if you haven't watched it and you heard our spoiler discussion, I recommend going to watch it at least just for the fact of what an achievement it is in filmmaking.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It is indeed an achievement.
Do you guys want to start rating it?
Sure.
I'll let you go first, because I know yours will be higher than mine.
You go ahead.
Okay, I'll go. I enjoyed my time. Like, I kind of get what you're saying. Like, it didn't really do anything for me. Like, because I already, you know, I know what happens, whatever. Like, it's not one that I'm going to, it'd probably be another 10, 15 years before I would even consider putting it on again. But it's a decent movie. I'm going to go, like, 6 out of 10. Just because it's okay. I don't know. That's what I'm going to go.
I'm going to still give it a 7 out of 10.
That's fine. Yeah.
I still love this movie. Like I said, I really can't... even watching it critically, I just, like, can't find anything that bugs me. Bugs. that bugs me about it, like, to the point where I'm like, this is subpar. Like, there's just nothing that really jumps out to me that's out of place or anything like that. It seems like it's a very fluid story. It has fun characters. I can't really bring myself to rate it any lower than a 7.
I mean, that's fair. I mean,
yeah. So, well, let's hear it.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go 5. Jesus, it's a perfectly Christ. Average movie. it's not as good.
That's why I picked 6, because yeah. I was like, it's just, I think it's above average.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't you throw it down with Mortal Kombat Annihilation? No.
I mean, for the technical achievements alone, I think it deserves to at least be here.
At least one.
Yeah. The story is strange and odd, and the characters, some of the characters are great, some of them I don't like at all. And just upon revisiting it from a since I was a child, yeah, it just hasn't stuck with me the way that it once has. So 5 out of 10.
Sad, very very sad.
Things change.
Yeah, I'm right in the middle.
Big sad.
That's what I felt the whole time. Was right in the middle, and that's sure is enough.
You know that's fine. I'll take the higher rating on this.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
I'll die on this hill. I started on.
I mean, we're not really arguing. So.
By all means, take it. Well. We have another recommendation for us.
Yeah, so my question to you guys is, how much time do you have in the next 2 weeks?
Like 0.
Oh, good. Well, that puts a damper on my pick. I will just do one of them then. So, I've been sitting on this one. I watch it all the time, but I just want to talk about the damn thing. Back to the Future.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, I'll make time for the trilogy.
We'll make the exception.
Okay.
I will make time for the trilogy.
I mean, it's going to be a long-ass episode, but...
If I have to fake my death to talk about the trilogy, I will fake my death.
So, okay. The trilogy it is.
All right. If you don't want to be spoiled for Back to the Future trilogy, make sure to watch them all before next time. Thank you for watching, guys, or listening. I hope you enjoyed our discussion about James and the Giant Peach. And all of our other exploits that we talked about. Make sure to like and subscribe and comment down below what you thought. Maybe give us some suggestions on movies you want us to watch and talk about.
Or don't. Stick to what you're good at.
Yeah, just sit there and watch. thanks as always for watching, guys. Catch you next time.